this world, there is real evil. In the darkest shadows and in the most ordinary places. These are the true stories of the innocent and the unimaginable. When the Mackies convert an abandoned roadhouse into a country music dance hall, they awaken an old evil. The angry dead attack the living and invade the bodies of the weak. With the help of a psychic and a creature, the possessed fight to save their souls. Between the world we see and the things we fear, there are doors. When they are opened, nightmares become reality.
Quite a bit of work to be done. I think you'll see that this facility has everything that you're going to need.
Country music artist Bobby Mackie has been on the road for 12 years. Ever since he quit his job with the railroad to sing full time, he's dreamed of owning his own nightclub.
Well, the type of music that I've always loved is the traditional country music. And lots of club owners don't understand that. And they wanted different types of music, and it got to the place where I didn't want to be nobody dictating to me the kind of music that I felt in my heart and I wanted to play. And it was either move to Nashville at that time or get my own place.
This will work.
A former rock and roll roadhouse in Wilder, Kentucky is exactly what Bobby has been looking for. Later that afternoon, Bobby returns to the club with his pregnant wife, Janet.
What do you think? Right here. Come on, check this out. Watch your step, Janet, right here. Well, what do you think? Check it out. There's the bar, right there. And the restrooms are over here, and...
I don't have a good feeling about this place.
Here, why don't you go check out the kitchen? It's really big in there.
Janet Mackie appears in silhouette to protect her privacy.
Felt like somebody was in there. And there wasn't nobody in there but him and I. Out of there as soon as possible.
Bobby? Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
What do you mean? I heard voices. Who are you talking to?
Janet, I'm not talking to anybody. It's just you and me here, baby. So what'd you think?
I don't have a good feeling about this place.
I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to leave. Let's come back tomorrow. Let's think about this some more. Because all I want to do is get out of there.
In my mind's eye, I could see it all. I could see the crowd. I could see people dancing. And so there was nothing going to stop me. I had to have the place.
From the day that Bobby signs the banknote and buys the place, he never looks back. His wife tries to support his decision.
I was afraid of it, but it's always been his dream. I knew that's what he's always wanted, and I thought, well, I'll just hang in there and support him.
One day, Bobby and Janet are cleaning up the club when a stranger arrives.
Hi. Howdy. My name's Carl Lawson.
Carl Lawson worked for the previous owners of the club as a handyman. But he's been out of a job since a series of brutal murders forced the club to shut down.
I've kind of been out of work since they...
I'd seen more just unexplained acts of violence in and around that building than you shake a stick at. Any nightclub or bar is going to have its share of, brawls or fights. It's going to happen.
Why was it shut down?
But on this scale here,
this place used to draw really...
It was abnormal.
I need an ambulance here now. I got a gentleman down on the ground. He has a gunshot wound to the chest.
The last year at the club was the most violent. 6 homicides. Carl believes that something about the place causes people to become violent.
Something's going on with this place. Eventually, that's what got the place closed down.
Sir, can you tell me what happened? Classic country music here. We're not going to have those kind of people here. You'll see. I assure you.
Well, that'd be a nice change of pace, sir.
Bobby believes his brand of classic country music will attract a more peaceful crowd.
Do you paint?
Which hand you want me to paint with?
Bobby hires Carl as a full-time handyman and caretaker.
What do you know?
I just knew right off the bat I'd get along with him. I mean, he just seemed straightforward and just said what he meant and meant what he said.
I think that'll just about do it.
His wife, Janet, was about the same way.
Carl and I became buddies, and he was more like my little brother.
Carl, you know what you were saying earlier about strange things happening to people around here?
Me and her knew this place. There's more meets the eye.
I'm going to be in the next room painting. If you need anything, just give me a holler.
All
for him, who knows what would happen next.
I do know for a fact something forced that woman's head down in that sink. I knew right there, man, whatever's here is not playing games. It's become dangerous. It's become violent.
I'm telling you, Bobby, there was a hand in the middle of my back forcing me into the sink.
Janet tells her husband what's happened, but Bobby can't believe what he's hearing.
It was like, it all just stopped, and...
He told me it was crazy. He didn't believe me. He didn't believe Carl.
What's going on?
But it did happen.
I'm telling you, I don't want you filling her head with any more of this stuff. Do you
He's
hear me?
He's not putting anything in my head. I know what I saw, and I told him about it.
I don't believe in ghosts. Gotta be
an
explanation.
That's it.
Something else. It can't be that.
One night soon after, police officer Larry Hornsby makes his rounds.
I had a funny feeling all night for some reason. In a full moon, something's going to happen.
Officer Larry Hornsby calls for backup, suspecting a burglar may be inside Bobby Mackey's club.
I knew there was a man and a woman in a radio playing. I heard the voice and I heard the music.
There's nobody back here.
What do you mean there's nobody back here?
I heard voices in here, though.
Me too.
Front door.
Could close that door. We were stunned. Put it that way, in plain words, we were stunned.
A few nights later, Officer Larry Hornsby returns to the nightclub in response to a fatal traffic accident.
I get a pulse.
You got nothing? All right, we need to get these guys out of the car. We got anything to cover the bodies?
Nothing in the car.
Look, I need an EMT out here quick. I got two bodies from a car accident. We need the EMT.
After we got the scene cleared, we came back up, knocked on the door, so we could thank her for giving us the tablecloth. But the doors were locked. We didn't know what happened to her.
You all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I just broke the last of my good bulbs. I gotta go get another one.
Okay.
Careful with the last one.
That's all right. I'll clean it up. I'm good.
Janet, you don't clean anything up. I'll be right back.
That's it. I get it.
All right. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Get her in here. Come on, darling. Come on. Hello? Anybody here? Help!
Hold on, Janet.
My wife, right, she fell down the stairs. She's pregnant.
I was so terrified. Because I thought, you know, I was going to lose my baby. I went into labor.
What happened? Come on. My wife, she fell down the stairs. She just tripped and hit her chest.
I was angry. I was terrified. I was everything.
She told me it's something that forced her down the steps. And I believed her. Bobby's concern was the business. I mean, I can understand. He's got a reputation on the line.
We gotta do something about these spirits, man. They're getting out of control.
Carl, there's no spirits. What's wrong with you?
Nobody's gonna believe you unless you experience it yourself.
Janet gives birth to a baby girl who weighs only 1 pound, 15 ounces. They don't know if she'll survive. In the following weeks, the couple monitors their newborn. When it becomes clear that their daughter will survive, Bobby prepares for the grand opening.
Opening night, I was kind of numb. I had a lot on my shoulders and a lot of stress and a lot of pressure.
I don't want you telling any ghosts. Carl, look at me. I don't want you telling any of the customers that stuff. All right?
Bobby, my focus was totally on running this business and making it work. And I didn't want to hear any of this nonsense. I wanted to make the place known for a great country music dance hall.
A few weeks later, Carl moves into an apartment above the club. He spends every night there, alone.
Unless I had to go somewhere, I stay here. Kept an eye on it, protected it.
Thank you.
was something like from a nightmare. I'd actually thought I was dreaming, but I wasn't. It was real.
For weeks, Carl is in denial about what he's seen. One day, Carl is cleaning up the storage room.
My love is as deep as the sea, it flows forever. You ask me when will it end? I tell you never.
Contains the personal confessions of a woman named Johanna, a dancer who performed at the club in the 1930s.
Tuesday.
She was in love with a musician, and Johanna's father did not like this guy.
He said he'd kill him if we didn't stop seeing each other. I'd rather be dead than lose love.
Johanna writes that her lover mysteriously disappeared. She feared that her father had killed him. So she poisoned her father, and then herself. Her final entry in the diary proclaimed that she would roam the halls of the club for all eternity, waiting for her lover to return.
Check.
Carl is unable to sleep. Then the power goes out. Carl goes to the basement to check the breaker panel. Onto a latch that he had never noticed before.
Are you all right?
In the following weeks, Carl's behavior becomes unpredictable.
How come you haven't cleaned up the place?
It got to the point where I wouldn't know which Carl I was talking to.
Carl, you okay?
I would have to talk to him for just a little while to figure out, you know, how to deal with him, because he always seemed to be different.
You think you're alone here, but you're not. Carl, you okay? You'll see. See what?
I've been trying to tell you, Bobby.
Tell me what?
Don't you see?
This place sort of, it became a, it was part of me.
Bobby Mackey stays focused on his business. He asks a friend, Doug Hensley, to help him produce a television commercial.
So, come on down to Bobby Mackey's Music World, where the good times never die.
Cut!
Although Bobby refuses to believe the nightclub is haunted, he confides in his friend about the strange occurrences.
So how's everything going?
Pretty good. I'm having a problem with one of my employees, though.
Who?
A kid named Carl.
Once Bobby had told me the story, I asked him why he kept it quiet. And he said that a lot of people are afraid of ghosts, and he didn't want the word out. He firmly said he didn't believe in it, but his wife and Carl Lawson believe the place was haunted.
As a writer, Doug is intrigued by the incredible story.
Do you mind if I talk to him, though?
I guess. You want to talk to him, you can talk to him, but
love to. I just want you to tell me what you experienced, best as you can say.
This place is evil. I've seen stuff I can't explain.
Carl told me that this place was filled with evil. And the only reason he stayed here was to protect Janet and Bobby. Had it not been for that, he would have left here a long time ago. But he also told me that
they don't want us here.
Something always pulled him back here.
Hensley is a natural skeptic, but he takes their stories at face value.
I was 5 1/2 months pregnant, and I felt this hand in the middle of my back, but I was alone.
I found Janet to be more believable than Carl in the beginning, because her demeanor was total and complete trepidation. She was afraid to even talk about it. You would have to know Janet Mackey to know that she would not make up something like this.
Though he remains skeptical, the stories pique his interest. He goes to the local library to research the history of the club.
I really thought Carl Lawson was schizophrenic until I started doing hours and hours of research, learning the history of this place.
Hensley finds an explanation for Carl's story in a 19th century article from the Kentucky Post.
I learned of two men that were hung in Newport, Kentucky in 1897. Their names were Alonzo Walling and Scott Jackson.
Alonzo Walling and Scott Jackson, two Cincinnati dental students, were convicted and sentenced to die by hanging for the murder of a young socialite named Pearl Bryan. Her headless body was found near the site of an old slaughterhouse in Wilder, Kentucky. She was 5 1/2 months pregnant at the time of her murder.
Alonzo Walling swore a curse on the gallows and said that he would come back from hell and haunt everyone involved in his trial and haunt the place where Pearl Bryan's head was.
Hensley tells Carl and Janet what he has found. It seems that he explains that after Pearl Bryan's body was discovered, bloodhounds led investigators to the slaughterhouse. Locals suspected that the killers had disposed of Pearl's head in the old well in the basement of the slaughterhouse as part of a satanic ritual. But the head was never found. Doug explains that the nightclub rests on the foundation of the old slaughterhouse. Doug Hensley knows that there are angry spirits inside Bobby Mackey's nightclub. Hoping to bring peace to the building, he invites a psychic named Patricia Michelle. Michelle is a nationally known medium and psychic counselor. She claims that since she was a child, she has been able to communicate with the dead.
Patricia, this is Carl.
When I arrived at the club, I met Carl, the caretaker.
They're here.
He started the talk, and I said, do me a favor, Carl. I said, don't talk to me about any spirits. I said, let me walk through the club. Let me experience what I experience. I have what they call inner vision, or second sight.
Patricia senses the presence of a spirit.
What's your name?
And she said, my name is Johanna. I said, what happened to you?
Why are you here?
She said, I know I'm dead. I said, why don't you let me send you to the light? And she said, no, lady. She said, don't send me to no light.
Patricia realizes that Johanna's spirit has chosen to remain earthbound.
I think that what is in Bobby Mackey's nightclub are ghosts that believe there is no place for them to go. And so they would prefer to live in this nightclub than to go on to a place where they may burn for eternity. That's what they think. I don't see the room as it is. I see the room like it used to be.
Sees a vision of a decapitated head.
I got this overwhelming feeling of nausea. I felt like I was spinning. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Are you okay? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Doug's bringing you a glass of water, okay?
Here you go. Here.
Thank you.
Presence of two evil spirits.
Carl, the two men in the room. I think they're trying to use your body.
I said, Carl, these two men in this room, I said, I believe that they're trying to use your body.
I think it makes them feel comfortable.
They were enjoying their senses, touch, smell, taste. Through me, I was controlled.
Carl, they've gone now. Carl, it's okay. They've gone.
The psychic tells Carl he cannot fight these spirits alone.
I think you're going to need to get a minister to help.
I definitely felt that Carl was possessed. And I told him then, I said, you really need to get a minister or someone to help you.
Doug Hensley brings a Pentecostal minister to meet with Carl.
And he told me that this was the most evil site that he'd ever stepped foot on in his life, that it was full of evil.
Why don't you guys wait here?
He said, I've been doing this for years, and I'm telling you, Carl Lawson is demonically possessed.
The minister has agreed to perform an exorcism.
this. He asked me to stand outside the room, and he and Carl went into the old kitchen and sat at a table, and the minister started performing an exorcism.
You're a living gateway for violent spirits. It's not a natural type of thing. They want to live inside of you.
So what I'd like to do is to have us pray together.
I don't think you understand, preacher. They're going to kill me. They're going to try to kill you, too.
No, it's all right. It's going to be okay. We have God on our side. Just pray with me.
It'll be better. You'll see. Let's just go ahead. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Exorcism started to become violent, and Reverend got afraid, and he called us other men into the room to surround Carl.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave his body.
He started speaking in Latin, and then he started speaking in English backwards, and he says, I am Satan.
This Bible commands you.
And the spirit said, like a dog growling, I'm a Matos.
Compels you that you listen. Therefore,
at that time, none of us had any idea what that meant, but later on, after the exorcism, the preacher showed us, he wrote that backwards, and it says, I am Satan.
James 4:7 says, never release to God.
Carl. Can you hear me? Are you all right?
When I woke up, everybody was looking at me, and I was on the floor, and I didn't know what happened.
After the exorcism, Carl decides it is time to move on.
I felt different.
The best of luck, Carl. If you ever need anything, you know where to find.
I felt changed.
Time for me to go, though. Take care.
I felt like a new human being.
So, guess I'll be getting on, too.
How about a cup of coffee? Come on.
No, it's okay.
I didn't need that spirits to tell me to get out. I got out, and I never went back.
To this day, Bobby Mackey claims he himself has never witnessed paranormal activity at his nightclub.
I don't know if the place got a hold of me or anything unforeseen is holding me here. If that's a supernatural experience, then so be it. And I'm going to stay here.
Beneath the active nightclub, in the bowels of the old slaughterhouse, the well remains. Some say that it is still a gateway, and that an ancient evil hides deep inside.